It's game day. And this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hampden in the spotlight again with the second Scottish Cup semi-final coming up between Celtic and St Johnstone. Can Brendan Rodgers' side continue their march towards a potential treble, or can Simo Vallecari's Saints cause an upset? The winner will take on Aberdeen in the final after they beat Hearts yesterday. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio today is Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
I would say that if St Johnstone knock out Celtic today, it would be a shock equivalent to Queen's Park eliminating Rangers earlier in the competition. And before anyone says Queen's Park are from a lower division than Rangers, St Johnstone are 52 points beneath Celtic in the league table. So it would be the equivalent of Queen's Park knocking out Rangers if St Johnstone do it. But what I'm really interested in is Roger Hanna bringing us the team news to find out, after the kind of week he's had off the park, if Adam Ida gets a start on the park for Celtic today.
Big day, semi-final day, we saw it yesterday. You need big players to step up, and often the semi-final can be the hardest game on your run to lifting the cup. It's the one that you have to dig deep sometimes. And we've seen in previous years that league standings doesn't always tell the story. It would be a shock. Celtic have to be guarded, especially what happened a couple of weeks ago against St Johnstone. I'm thoroughly looking forward to it.
I think it would be a massive shock, not just a shock. Celtic, firm favourites to get to the final, come up against Aberdeen, going for that treble. The big hitters will be out today. The sun is shining. Another big hitter is Roger Hanna, who's sitting in it.
The perfect day for a Hampden semi-final. Let's go straight there. Roger Hanna has the team news.
Yes, I do. It is all Hampden in the sun. When they met a fortnight ago, Andrew, it was Celtic 0, St Johnstone 1. But did the Saints just make the hoops angry? They responded last week, a 5-1 win over Kilmarnock to put them in the brink of the Premiership title. A win today would propel Brendan Rodgers' side even closer to another domestic treble. And a win would return them here to the National Stadium on May 24 to face Aberdeen. Quickly to the team news to answer Hugh's question. Yes, Adam Ida starts for Celtic today. Unsurprisingly, they are unchanged from the side that battered Kelly 8 days ago. Will Jeremy Sinisalo in goal? It's the same back four: Arthur Johnson, Cameron Carter, Vickers, Liam Scales and Greg Taylor. Across the middle, Arnie Engels, the skipper, Callum McGregor and Rio Hitati. And up top, James Forrest and Dyson Maeda will flank Ida. Only 8 substitutes, so Mike Novrodsky drops out. That means it's Bain, Ralston, Trusty, Schlup, Bernardo, McCowan, Kuhn and Jota on the bench. St Johnstone, they make 2 changes from the side that lost to Dundee United at Tannadice 8 days ago. 1 and 4, Zach Mitchell is injured, so that means Sven Sprangler will come into the middle of a back three. The other change sees the return of club captain Nicky Clark in place of Mackenzie Kirk. So it's Andy Fisher in goal, the match winner when they played Celtic the last time, Daniels Balodis, who will wear a protective face mask after breaking his nose in training through the week. He's in the back three with Sprangler and Barry Douglas. Across the middle, Sam Curtis, Jason Holt, Victor Griffith and Stephen Duke McKenna, with skipper Clark and Graham Carey behind frontman Adama Sidibe. On the bench, it's Sinclair, McPake, Watt, Svedberg, Stephen, Kimpioka, Kirk, and for the first time this season, Uche Igbeazu back after lengthy injury problems. The referee is Callum Scott. The VAR is Andrew Dallas. As I said, Balodis, the hero a fortnight ago, but before that, Celtic had won 4 in a row against St Johnstone and scored 16 goals. They won their last meeting in the Scottish Cup, Ryan Christie scoring the only goal 5 years ago in Perth. Their last semi-final meeting here was in 2007 when Jan Venegård of Hesseling scored a double in a 2-1 win. And wait for this one, Hugh. St Johnstone's last Scottish Cup win over Celtic was in February 1936. A 2-1 win 89 years ago. Jimmy Beattie scored both goals for a St Johnstone team that beat Willie Maley's Hoops. They are still heroes in Perth. Could Simo Vallecari's side eclipse them today?
You did a good match report on that game in 1939,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah, the day pretty much like today, nice and sunny, but I'm expecting it to be cloudy for St Johnstone today. And with regard to Adam Ida playing from the start, let me say, I thought Brendan Rodgers let him off lightly in his press conference when he put the blame on those who had filmed Adam Ida rather than Adam Ida for apparently, allegedly being the worse for wear. Adam Ida's a £9 million player. and has not been playing well for Celtic. And it was the Wednesday after he'd been subbed against Kilmarnock. Celtic 4 up in 24 minutes that day, none of them from Adam Ida. Taking off the centre back, Cameron Carter-Vickers scored. A full back, Anthony Ralston, scored. But by that time, Ida was watching the game from the bench. So he has to lift his game for Celtic. One of Brendan Rodgers' dominant characteristics as a manager is that he makes players better than they were before they were managed by him. He's got his work cut out with Adam Ida.
There was maybe a time this season where it would maybe be unthinkable that Celtic would go into a Scottish Cup semi-final and Nicholas Kuhn would be on the bench and Jota would be on the bench. Is that a big call from Brendan Rodgers today?
I don't think it's as big a call as maybe people will make out. No doubt, Jota and Kuhn, outstanding players, big players for Celtic. But you look at the freshness of last week and the performance of last week, and you think, why would you change it? Brendan Rodgers said after that St Johnstone game that you need, you know, players to come in fresh and you need players not to be comfortable. And he got exactly that when he brought in Forrest and Ida, and he's put Maeda wide. And they score five goals and play some outstanding stuff, especially in that first half. So I'm not surprised at all. Even with the Ida stuff midweek, you would be amazed at the amount of players who do go out midweek. And I thought Brendan Rodgers handled it well. Now, no doubt he would have had a word probably with Ida behind closed doors, but he's experienced enough, Brendan Rodgers, to come out and point the blame elsewhere. But I don't think he was going to ever change his full plans just because of what's happened there, because there will be other players in his tenure and along the way that will do similar. So I'm not surprised. And I think he fits part of a puzzle as well, Ida. Everybody else played well run about him in those positions. So you actually, you're going to change a couple of things. Are you going to move Maeda in then and Jota back? So you're changing a couple of things. So I'm not surprised at all with the team selection.
Well, honestly, for yesterday we had a chat about it. Andy Halliday was in the studio, and both Andy and I thought he would go with the big hitters, Kuhn and Jota. Hamden, semi-final. I totally take on board, agree with what Mark says. Celtic played probably the best 45 minutes of the season last week against Kilmarnock, tore them apart. So he's happy with that, and he's got those big hitters if he needs to call on them. I don't think he will.
I think he's had a word with Ida in private that was far different from the word that he had in public with the press on Friday. And I think he's put Ida in a position today where he's saying there are over 40,000 Celtic supporters inside Hampden today. They know all about what went on midweek, and they want to see you score a goal. I think he's put Ida up against the wall.
What do you take away from that team news, Roger?
I think he's just putting faith in the guys who did so well last week against Kilmarnock. They got a response from, you know, James Forrest back into the team. If he scores today, he'll extend this incredible record of scoring in every season of his Celtic professional career, which I think is back around about 2010-11. He scored more goals against St Johnstone, Andrew. He's got a dozen, scored more than he has against any other club. So when you look at him on one side, you look at Dyson Maeda with 31 goals and probably double Player of the Year nominations at the end of the season. And I know he does come in for criticism, and I tend to agree with a lot of what Hugh said there in the last few minutes, but he has got 14 goals for Celtic this season at a time when he's not always been in the team, A, because of Kyogo in the first half of the season, and B, because of Maeda's form in the second half of the season. I think, and I do agree with you, I think Brendan Rodgers will have had a quiet word and just said to him, I'm not leaving you at the team because of this, but you need to show why you should be in the team. We're chasing a treble. You need to go and score goals.
On James Forrest, his experience could be key today. Roger talked about, you know, his incredible record, how many consecutive seasons he's scored for Celtic up until today. And we've seen he's been written off previously as well. You look back to last season where he was in cold storage, essentially. And it got to around this time of the season, wasn't it? And he really came alive, worked his way into Steve Clarke's Euros plans as well.
Well, he's a brilliant player, brilliant professional to have about your club. And I think at a time where Brendan Rodgers did say about having that freshness, he knows what he's getting from James Forrest. That attitude, that brightness in and around the box. So he's still got plenty to give. And Roger's right. Sometimes you get players who don't mind playing against a certain team. St Johnstone's certainly a team that he has a lot of success from.
So he scored 4-1, didn't he?
The big pitch will suit him. But I think Daz makes a good point as well. You know, get what you can out of Forrest. If that's an hour, you can replace him. And you're replacing him with either Jota or Kuhn in that big pitch as well.
It doesn't matter who Celtic play today. If they play anything like they played last Saturday against Kilmarnock at home, this tie, this cup title will be finished by half time. Right, St Johnstone have got to dig deep. Nobody's given them any chance whatsoever, but it's cup football. Did anybody really give them a chance at home against Celtic and they come out on top in that? Listen, they'll need a lot of things to go for them this afternoon, but if Celtic come out of the traps, there's only one winner.
They would need to be as diabolical, Celtic, as they were in Perth that day. And Brendan Rodgers really tore a strip off them. And when they played Kilmarnock, Schlupp was missing, Trusty was missing, Kuhn was missing, Jota was missing. So he basically publicly pointed out four players who were less than professional against St Johnstone, and they paid the price by being left out of the game against Kilmarnock. Celtic are going for a treble that would be a world record breaking ninth treble. Now, these things matter to supporters. And if the supporters thought that the treble, the world record breaking treble, would be lost to Celtic because they couldn't beat St Johnstone for the second time in a fortnight, they'd be very disillusioned.
A vote of confidence for Liam Scales that he continues in there ahead of Austin Trusty.
I think he deserves it as well. When you look at his performance and you look at how he can carry the ball as well, I thought that was a weakness when Scales got into the Celtic team, that he took too many touches and teams often let him have possession because he would quite often try and force a pass. I think he's got much better at that now. He's got much better at actually assessing his options, putting his foot in the ball, and he come out and start the other side. So I think William Scales is one similar mould to Greg Taylor. If anything goes wrong on that side, he is getting it in the neck. But I think he's a reliable and sturdy defender who's a good option today. And you see him in and around the box on that left foot. He's not scared to have a go like he did last week against Kelly.
How will St Johnstone view this game? Obviously a massive match, a match that, you know, can create history by getting to another Scottish Cup final. But when you look at the situation in the league, are there maybe some people at St Johnstone that might see this type of day as a hindrance as they try to, you know, retain their Premiership status?
No, you can't look as a hindrance. It's brilliant for a club to get to the semi-final. It's Hampden, it's full house. Celtic will have the majority of the support there. You're up against a top quality side, but you've got to sort of tick the clock away. You know, I think you'll be looking, no cliches, the first 20 minutes, keep it tight, you know, don't give anything away, work your way into the game. If he can get to half time and he's still in the cup tie, I think he would be very, very happy, because you never know what happens in these sort of games. But if Celtic come out and score early against them, they've got a real problem, because Celtic could rack up a good score here this afternoon.
Completely different game from the one a couple of weeks ago where St Johnstone beat Celtic, given the venue, the pitch, those types of things will play into Celtic's favour just because of the way they play their football. But will St Johnstone still take belief and confidence from the way they played that day coming into today, or is it quite tough just given how different the circumstances are?
I think it's tough. You know, Celtic at that point had lost to Hibs, they had lost to Rangers, and they were going through an awkward spell. And what happened in Perth just put the tin lid on it for the manager, who then told the players in no uncertain terms what he thought of them. Today, everything is going Celtic's way. Absolutely everything. They're on the rebound from a 5-goal thriller against Kilmarnock, where players were excellent. They have, I believe, about 90% of Hampden in terms of the supporters, over 40,000 Celtic supporters, and my understanding is that there are only 2,000 St Johnstone fans on the ground. It's a beautiful day. Everything is going Celtic's way up until 3 o'clock when the whistle blows, and then Celtic have got to play it their way, not the way they did it in Perth, the way they did it last weekend at Celtic.
I think you're spot on with that, and the surroundings, you know, everything in Celtic's favour. And of course, when St Johnstone takes Celtic to McDermott Park, and set pieces are going to be crucial early on in the game, and you've got a bit of a bobblier surface that disrupts Celtic's flow, there's every chance you get a result like that. However, if you're looking at it, that big pitch, pristine conditions to pass the ball, fans inside the ground, the history of Celtic being at Hampden. They're there every single year at this time of year. They know how to handle these occasions. So everything's stacked against St Johnstone in that respect. However, I've been there myself with Celtic, Ross County game, a couple of years later, Inverness, you know, so heavy favourites in those games. And there was an upset because Celtic weren't at their top, you know, levels on those days. So that's what's in St Johnstone's favour, and I'm sure Seymour Vallecari will point some of those factors out.
You can spin it both ways, but if St Johnstone managed to go out and cause that upset today that nobody's expecting, it could then have a positive effect for them in the league going forward. That could be the type of thing that could really kick them on and help them in their chase to try and get away from bottom spot.
100%, because if you get to a final, Mark will tell you, you get to a Scottish Cup final and you've still games to play, you want to make sure you're picked for that last game of the season, the big one, the cup final. Everybody loves playing the Scottish Cup final. So it would give them a little bit of advantage. Look, it's a mountain to climb, but cup football works in strange ways. They'll need a lot of things to go for them this afternoon, but Celtic are firm favourites. But if they do get that result, 100%, it will certainly help them in their league campaign.
Well, let's hear from both managers, starting with Brendan Rodgers.
What I'm really happy is when I came here in 2016, there was always a wee bit of trepidation. I think Celtic went through a period where it was difficult both in semi-finals and finals. We sit here today, now arrived as a football club, in a feeling that we will win. And whether you do or not, but the feeling and the mentality is that we have a feeling that we can go there and perform. And that's a mindset that is now with everyone at the club, with players, with supporters. And then you go and deliver, and that's the plan. The feeling is that we can win, we will win, we want to win. And that's a different mindset altogether. So it doesn't guarantee you anything, because you still have to do the work, but it's much better going there feeling that you can tip the scales more your way than not. And that just comes from that winning mentality, that feeling, that culture that you create, and obviously then going and really owning the pitch at Hampden. And that's what, in my time here in the main, that we've done.
To be totally honest, you can play long, beautiful career, and maybe ever you don't get the chance to play semi-final at Hampden. So, of course, it is a big week, and our club has been successful in a cup competition, so there is a history as well. It's a great occasion, good to be part of it. We deserve to be in this semi-final. We have had very good cup run. We have played strong games, not conceded a goal yet in this competition. So we deserve to be in this semi-final, and we deserve to be this semi-final to compete to get to the final. So that's why we are as ready as we can be to be here.
Kick off 40 minutes away at Hampden. We'll continue the build-up to that game, and up next we'll take a look back at all of yesterday's action.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scottish Cup semi-final weekend, and it's the turn of Celtic and St Johnstone at Hampden today, a 3 o'clock kickoff. And of course the winner will take on Aberdeen in the final after their win against Hearts yesterday. The big team news coming from Brendan Rodgers' side, and it's the same team that beat Kilmarnock last time out, so it means Jota, Kuhn on the bench, Austin Trusty on the bench as well. James Forrest and Adam Ida starting. Liam Scales is in there as well. We'll continue the build up to that game, but let's take a look back at yesterday. First of all, we'll take a look and see how Aberdeen got themselves to the final. If we get the same level of drama today as we did yesterday, I think we'll all be pleased, Hugh.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think that Aberdeen were outstanding, but they are in the final and they are to be congratulated. And if Celtic get there today, then we have a repeat of the final 35 years ago when Aberdeen last won the Scottish Cup. Astonishing that a club of Aberdeen's stature in this country have gone 35 years without winning the Scottish Cup. Hearts, typical of Neil Critchley, show him a big game and he doesn't win it. It's for the Hearts supporters to decide how unhappy they are with him and the team. They were reduced to 10 men, I thought, justifiably. When Michael Steinvender was sent off, and then to 9 men when Devlin was sent off, and I think that one was very harsh on the part of John Beaton, the referee. But it was a topsy-turvy day. Aberdeen got there in the end, but I didn't think they were outstanding as a team.
What did you make of the red card called, Gordon?
I'm a bit, you know, I heard the Hearts manager talking about the first one. I can totally understand the referee pulling out the red card. He was in a good position, but he's still a long way to go. I don't know if the Hearts defenders, because running with the ball is difficult. You can't run as quick with the ball. You know, he's still a few touches. Could Hearts defenders get back? But his first touch that invites the tackle in is brilliant, because it takes it away. The argument is, and Andy says it yesterday, Andy Halliday, that he'd be more disappointed with the Hearts defender making the tackle and putting himself in that position. I agree with you. I thought the second yellow was ridiculous. It was never a yellow card for Devlin. And I thought Hearts were a little bit unlucky not to see out to penalty kicks. I totally agree. I don't think Aberdeen were at their best. I thought at times Hearts were a better side. But put all that aside, and Mark will tell you, semi-finals are about one thing: winning the game. Nobody will remember the semi-final in a few years. It's all about winning the game and getting yourself to that final.
Is it the Cammy Devlin red card that will sting because of the nature of it? I think a lot of people may be unhappy with the second booking, but also Hearts have done so well to hold out with 10 men for so long, go down to 9 men, yeah, concede 2 minutes later.
Yeah, well, it's such an important position in the pitch as well, and you're removing him from that area. I thought it was so harsh. Like the guys, I mean, Devlin's eyes are firmly on the ball and he takes a swipe at it. He's not to know that somebody's coming in there and nicking it. So I think it's incredibly harsh. And, you know, you do feel a bit for Hearts. But Aberdeen, I think, over the piece, did deserve it. You know, and you think back to last year, they made such a memorable, that's saying nobody remembers semi-finals. You remember last year's one because it was so memorable against Celtic, went all the way to penalties, and they've went a step better. And if you're Jimmy Thuleen, what a topsy-turvy season it's been. At one stage, it was dreamland. Then it turned into a nightmare. He's been to one semi-final, put out from Celtic. He's negotiated another one, and he'll be there on the final day of the season at Hampden for the final.
Yeah, Roger, there's been a lot of talk about Neil Critchley in the aftermath of the game, but for Jimmy Thuleen, I mean, how do you even begin to explain the season that Aberdeen have had?
Yeah, listen, it's been terrific. I know there was a big dip in the middle of the season, but if you're the manager in the first season at Aberdeen and you can get to a Scottish Cup final and maybe finish third, that would be deemed to be success. Listen, you talk about Hearts, talk about John Beaton. I thought John Beaton was correct in both red cards. Nobody's catching Keskinen when he goes through. That's a dog's though, as they say. And the second one, it's a wee bit like John Souter conceding the penalty the other night. You know, Cammy Devlin was beaten to it by the other player. He's kicked Dante Pulvara. It's a second booking and he's off. But if you're wanting to scrutinise Neil Critchley, and I know Daz is always hot on this, if you get down to 10 men, they're a centre-half sent off a minute before half-time. He takes off James Wilson and Elton Kabangu and puts on two centre-halves and goes five at the back and leaves Lawrence Shankler about 30 yards away from any teammates. That was just, you know, almost giving up on the semi-final. And with the tradition of Hearts, the tradition of Hearts attacking football, I think Hearts supporters have a right to ask what Neil Critchley thought he was playing at. Does, you know, Daz, when they went down to 10 men as a manager, always kept two up front, always tried to give the team a focal point. Neil Critchley just gave up on that, and he asked Aberdeen effectively, see if you can break us down, and they did.
Yeah, this big game thing that Neil Critchley keeps getting levelled at him, that his Hearts team don't turn up in the big games, it'll continue to happen if they continue to not win these big games.
Yeah, it is difficult. I agree with Roger. I think they just decided to camp in and think, right, okay, can we see it out extra time? Can we get to penalty kicks and take our chance from there and try and get into the final? Look, he's come under.
I mean, arguably it was working, wasn't it, up until they got the second red?
Yeah, and I thought, you know, they were a little bit unlucky not to get to the penalty kicks. So I don't think Aberdeen blew them away by any matter of means. But he's come under a little bit of pressure, because not just the cup. The last day, the split, the last game at Fir Park, they were toothless. You know, they had the opportunity in their hand twice, at home to Dundee United and away to Motherwell, and they couldn't produce. So he's come under a lot of pressure. I said yesterday in the programme, I think you've got to, just if you go through a bad season, stop sacking managers all the time. They believe that he's the right guy to take them forward. I think that he'll get to next season, but he'll need to produce, because the Hearts fans, there's a lot of them already switched off from him.
How big are these next five games for Neil Critchley, just to to prove something to the supporters ahead of the summer.
Yeah, I mean, with the semi-final defeat, there comes the added problem that you have no chance of qualifying for Europe, and they have to be very careful. You know, this team is guilty of, on the big occasion, failing to produce the goods. The manager's partly to blame for that, but players are on the park and they do have a responsibility. No goals against Motherwell put them in the bottom six. The week before, they played Dundee United at Tannadice. No goals again. As Daz said, they're toothless. So these are games that have to be very carefully negotiated, because they don't want to add any more fire to the supporters who already think that the manager's not the one to lead them.
Where does Neil Critchley stand after that, Roger?
I think he's under serious pressure. It would not surprise me at all if Hearts hierarchy were already considering alternatives. Andrew McKinley, the chief executive, apologised to the supporters through the week for not making the top six. And I thought that was the timing of that for me, Andrew, is really telling. The manager is trying to build up to a Scottish Cup semi-final against Aberdeen at Hampden. He's trying to inject a bit of positivity into the football department, and the chief executive's come out with a grovelling apology and basically saying the team hasn't been good enough. So for me, I think he's under pressure. They are at home to Dundee at the weekend, but as we said about Rangers in the show yesterday, the last five games for Hearts are absolutely meaningless. The only thing that's meaningful for Hearts between now and the end of the season is the board making a call on whether they're willing to back Neil Critchley for the start of the next season.
Well, let's hear from both managers yesterday, starting with the winning manager, Jimmy Tilleen.
I think it was, the game, Hearts started the game really well, and we were a little bit under pressure. Of course, the red card helps a little bit to get more calmness in the team. But we also know by experience, when a team get one man down, it's more less space to play on, and it's quite difficult, and it's always counter-attack can happen against you, or a set plays. So you have to be really concentrated. We learned some lessons from last week, so I think the players keep the patience. We put a lot of cross into the box. They defend really well, but we keep pushing and adding more players and fresh players. And how the squad manage this game, the subs come in and give energy, and finally we have this extra punch to win the game. And so now we have to celebrate today.
And Hearts manager Neil Critchley.
I'm really proud of how the team played. I thought we started the game very well. Conceded a really poor goal from their first sort of foray into our final third, but responded really well. I thought we were a better team in the first half. Played with energy, played with intensity, were positive in our actions. And then with 10 men, I thought we were brilliant. The way we defended, our organisation, our character, we put our bodies on the line. And the least we deserved, in my opinion, was to take it to penalties and give us the opportunity of getting through to the final. I've never seen a referee get a red card out quicker in my entire life, to be honest with you. It's a long way from goal, and we've got recovering defenders, and he couldn't wait to send him off. But they had a header just after half time, it went wide, I think. But other than that, I don't think they really had an opportunity to score. We still carried a bit of a threat at the other end as well. Craigie's made a magnificent save in the first half of extra time. That's about it, really. Until right near the end, right at the death, when we're down to nine men.
Well, no lack of action and drama at Hampden yesterday. Certainly no lack of action and drama in the Scottish Championship yesterday, Hugh.
Well, we're now set for the Firhill blockbuster on Friday night. Live television, no doubt a full house for Partick Thistle against Falkirk. Falkirk, I float the possibility that bottles may be crashing within that Falkirk team. They've taken to losing late goals. Yesterday they were 2 minutes away from the end of the 90 regulation minutes and somehow contrived to lose not one, not two, but three goals. Bottles are crashing. Over to the mighty Jags.
It will be a big, big test of character for those Falkirk players, won't it now?
Yeah, because they're going to obviously March Partick Thistle with Brian Graham there, who need the points as well. It's highlighted, and I heard Neil Lennon talking about it, and I heard Mark's interview yesterday talking about the pitches, that, you know, the way they are just now, they're not in the greatest nick. Now, the one thing about Falkirk is they get complimented on the football they play. So they maybe have to, you know, change their style of play, which could suit Partick Thistle, because they need a result. They're looking over their shoulder. I look at the two games that Partick have got, Falkirk-Livy, very difficult. Raith Rovers have got Morton Queen's Park. You'd expect Raith probably pick up 6 out of 6 there. I know, obviously, Morton will be a difficult one for them. So I think it's a massive game for both sides. I really do. I think it'll be a cracker. There'll be a bumper crowd there. And I'm looking forward to sitting with my feet up, because I ain't going. And
do you know what, come?
No.
Okay, yeah, take it.
I am not interested in going along there. I will sit by my TV with my cup of tea and cheer the mighty Jags on.
Just how big a game is it?
It's a blockbuster game, it is. Because, you know, obviously two teams with loads to play for. And it's great for our players. I mean, because you've got to see where the title's going to go. But we've also got to see how our season's going to end up. And there's nothing better than that. We don't want to rely on other people's results. We have to focus on ourselves. So Falkirk are going to have to be at their best when they come along to Faces and hope that we're off it. But our players will be fully focused on what they have to do, because we need 3 points. So it's going to be some viewing on Friday night.
It did look, it just seemed at one point there was just that big gap at the top of the table. It looked like it would be a procession for Falkirk, and all of a sudden the teams are sort of smooshed together up there.
Yeah, well, as I say, they've taken to losing late goals that are costly. And I just looked at it yesterday and thought, there it was all there in front of you. You just beat Raith Rovers, and yes, you'd be accepting the title on goal difference, but you'd be entitled to do that. And then all of a sudden, a collapse. I mean, not just a slip up, an absolute collapse. Three goals.
The division's amazing. It's taken me to go in fully to see teams close up, to see that there isn't that much between them all. And every team in the division can beat each other. And I've seen that in my time, where we've faced Livy and Ayr. And then we faced Dunfermline yesterday, and there's not much between the teams. We should have won it in balance of playing chances, but we didn't. But we get beat against Airdrie and Hamilton. And the same with Falkirk. I mean, I think everybody's, including myself, when I came off the pitch, I didn't expect that result. And everybody just expected Falkirk to blow Raith away. But there is so little between the teams in this division. It's incredible. And it's at the top end of the pitch that Falkirk have been quite good, and that's what's gave them the lead and the opportunity to win the championship.
Surely Falkirk can't blow it. They go to Thistle, and look, I wouldn't be surprised if Thistle, I'm not saying this because he's standing there, I wouldn't be surprised if Thistle won that, right? But they get into the final game of the season, they're at home to Hamilton, their goal difference is superior to Livy's. Surely they're going to get it over the line.
At the other end of the table, an utterly horrendous week for Hamilton, getting even worse.
Yeah, the whole situation at Hamilton is a mess. An absolute ocean-going mess. And you had the unsavoury scenes yesterday with the fans attempting to encroach into the director's box, police stewards having to get involved. So it's a very, very tense time. The appeal will be lodged, but I think that the decision taken against Hamilton is of such a magnitude that the SFA will not overturn what has already been decided. I think Hamilton are down.
Roger, you had the eyewitness account there yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's just disgusting scenes at half time, Andrew. I believe two Hamilton Accies officials suffered wounds to their faces from glass that was thrown in the boardroom inside New Douglas Park. Police are involved. I believe they're scouring CCTV images to see A, how the thugs got into that area, and B, who's responsible for, you know, for what went on when they did get in there. It's been a dreadful week. There is a 15-point penalty. There will be an appeal delivered here to Hamden on Tuesday. I think that means the championship table then reverts to what it was before the 15-point penalty. You know, the penalty suspended, if you like, so Accies would go back up to 7th place in the table. I spoke to John Rankin last night. Yeah, as the table currently stands, are 7 points adrift of Airdrie with two games left. It looks as if they're relegated. John Rankin refusing to accept that. He says the only table he's looking at is the one that has them 7th in the table. So it's a chaotic mess They will need to fast track this appeal as quickly as they possibly can, because not only does it affect Hamilton academically, it affects Airdrie, it affects Queen's Park and Fermoy, and the teams at the top end of League One behind the champions of growth who will be going into the playoffs. Who plays who? When do they play? When is the appeal heard? How will it affect Hamilton Accies? If Hamilton Accies were to win the appeal, did they win part of the appeal, because they've been found guilty on four charges? One charge was a 12-point penalty, another charge was a 3-point penalty. Could they get 3 points back? Could they get 12 points back? Could they get 15 points back? It is an absolute mess, and the SFA needs to get this appeal sorted as quickly as possible.
Yeah, we have not heard the last of that story, but there is a big game to look forward to today. Celtic against St Johnston in the Scottish Cup semi-final. We'll get more build-up next.
Action as it happens, and your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Not long to go until Celtic against St Johnston at Hampden in the Scottish Cup semi-final. Roger Hanna is there for us. Can you just give us a recap of those teams, Roger?
Yes, we can. Celtic, Andrew, unchanged from that side. They beat Kilmarnock 5-1 at Celtic 5 days ago. It means Buljamie Sinisalo continues in goal in the absence of the injured Kasper Schmeichel. The back four, Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter, Vickers, Liam Scales and Greg Taylor. The midfield three of Arnie Engels, Callum McGregor and Rio Hitati. And up top, Rodgers is stuck with those front three from last week. James Forrest, Adam Ida and the 31-goal top scorer, Dyson Maeda. On the bench, Bain, Ralston, Trusty, Schloop, Bernardo, McCowan, Kuhn and Jota. Johnson, two changes from the side that lost at Tannadice last weekend. One in force, Sven Strangler in for the injured Zach Mitchell. The other sees the club captain Nicky Clark referred to Mackenzie Kirk. So it's Andy Fisher in goal, Daniel Spilotis, Sven Strangler, Barry Douglas in the back three. Across the middle, Sam Curtis, Jason Hold, Victor Griffith and Stephen Duke McKenna, with Graham Carey and Nicky Clark behind Adama Sidibe. On the bench, Sinclair McPay, Wallace Svedberg, Stephen Kimpioka, Kirk and Ikeatsu. The referee, Callum Scott, in his first ever Scottish Cup semi-final. The VAR is Andrew Dallas, and the sun is shining down as the teams prepare for the second Scottish Cup semi-final, Andrew.
Yes, barely a cloud in the sky at Hampden. It is the perfect day for it. How will the players be feeling at this point, Mark, before heading out? Different feelings between the Celtic and St Johnstone players?
I'm not so sure, Andrew. I've been in both dressing rooms with Dundee United when we were the underdogs, and then obviously the favourites with Celtic. But I think a semi-finals is always nerves surrounding each team. Brendan Rodgers highlighted it, that of course they've got a positive mentality. They go there wanting to win, they expect to win, but that brings a bit of pressure as well. So you've got those nerves on your shoulders and not letting down the treble. If you're St Johnstone, of course, you kind of go into it fearing the worst. What could happen if Celtic turn up? And I think the St Johnstone players will be realistic within that. They need everything to go for them. They need every player to play to the top of their ability and hope those Celtic players have an off day. So that's where their nerves will be coming from.
Do you know something? I've been in the camp of, and I don't think I've discussed this in the show, I've been one of the biggest underdogs ever to go in a cup game. And you go out with hope. You go out with hope that it could be your day, that you could get a bit of luck, things will go your way. That's what St Johnstone will certainly be hoping for. Celtic will go out with bags of confidence. They've been there many times. It's like their second home. They know how to get the job done.
Against hope, you put reality. The reality is that in Celtic's last 27 visits to Hampden, 27, they've lost once. And the reality is that Brendan Rodgers, in two spells as Celtic manager, beginning in 2016, has never lost a Scottish Cup tie. That's the reality.
Derek McInnes said after that game against Celtic last weekend that with Celtic in that form, he actually doesn't understand how any team in Scotland can actually beat them. I mean, it's quite a statement to make, and it just shows how good Celtic were, especially for that first half hour. You'd think if Celtic, if they come out and they play like that, it could be a long afternoon for St Johnstone.
Well, everything went right for Celtic on the afternoon. Derek's right, because when you assess it, and he's probably trying to think, what could they have done better? Could have just sat there and put everybody behind the ball? But you look at Hitati's goal and you look at Cameron Carter-Vickers' goal, you know, from outside the area, outstanding strikes. And then you think, can you press Celtic? And of course, Kilmarnock pressed them a bit, but they got down the sides, cut back goal. So it was almost a perfect performance last week. So it's very difficult to come up with some sort of blueprint. Simo Vallecari's got, you know, a recent blueprint, but it was at McDermott Park, again on a different surface, and it worked there. But the game's going to take on a different form today.
But he's got to go with the same blueprint, because there's nothing else he can go with. He can only go with, right, okay, and Mark's right, McDermott Park, difficult place to go, caught Celtic in a bad day. But you can't come into this game and think, right, okay, we're going to change it up, because Celtic will just open you up and beat you comfortably. So I think he's got to take hope from McDermott Park and say, do you know what? It worked there. Let's see if it can work again.
Prior to McDermott Park, Celtic had played St Johnstone twice this season. First game, 6-0 Celtic. Second game, 4-0 Celtic. 10-0 on aggregate. That's the gulf between them. 52 points separate the top team in the Premiership from the bottom team, St Johnstone. That's the reality for St Johnstone.
It must be daunting being an opposition team and looking at that Hamden record that Celtic have.
Yeah, and it all kind of kicked off with Brendan Rodgers, because the games I was referencing earlier where there were big shocks, when Ross County obviously beat Celtic in Inverness, that came prior to 2016, of course, and Celtic were going through a ropey stage, turning up at Hampden, underperforming. Even when they were getting the job done, it was a bit scrappy. But under Brendan Rodgers, when he came in and installed that winning mindset, they have been unstoppable at Hampden. The players are comfortable there. A lot of those players have been there and done it before, so you've not even got the argument that it's new surroundings for some of the new signings. They are that familiar with the place that it's hard to stop them. Of course, the pitch, is it the biggest pitch in Scotland? I think it is, dimensions wise, and the surface is playing beautifully. It's not even the argument that Hampden maybe 10 years ago was never kept the best, and it was waterlogged and it was a bit bumpy. Now it's pristine, so it all stacks in Celtic's favour. However, sometimes it doesn't play out like that. Sometimes it is a set piece, somebody switching off, that gets you ahead and you've something to cling on. But saying the obvious, stating the obvious, first goal is going to be crucial. St Johnstone get it, they've something to fight for. If Celtic get it, it's a long afternoon.
Where does the success come from for St Johnstone today? Is it making the most of set pieces? Is it getting the most out of the likes of Sidibe and Clark at that end of the pitch when they have their limited opportunities? Is it Fisher and goal having to have an excellent game? Is it all of the above?
All of the above, and more, you've got to say. I think it will be so important, because Celtic will have the lion's share of the ball. There's no doubt about that. But when St Johnstone get it, they need an out ball. They just can't camp in. They just can't give the ball back to Celtic cheaply. They've got to try and keep it. They've got to defend with their lives. They've got to throw their bodies on the line and, you know, make sure that Celtic don't get off to that fast start that Brendan Rodgers will be looking for. And if they can do that, as I say, as an underdog, as a manager and a player and a coach, you tick the minutes away. You're looking at the first 20 minutes. You're looking at that clock thinking, see, we're still 0-0. Let's get the next 20 and try and get to half time. And then all of a sudden, you're starting to have a little bit of belief. But this Celtic team came out like they did last week against Kilmarnock, and before you know it, you're out the cup. It's as simple as that.
What makes it tough as well for St Johnstone is if they do everything right and they manage to get to a point later on in the game where they're holding Celtic or above, Celtic can then turn to the bench. Yeah. They've got the likes of Jota and Kuhn and Schlupp, and not only have them, but them players that feel like they might have a point to prove as well, having been left out the starting lineup.
Well, if you're Nicholas Kuhn and Jota, you've now had a seed of doubt planted in your mind, thinking, well, I don't automatically walk into this team anymore. Jota came back to a fanfare of trumpets, the emotional return at Motherwell, the goal, the tears, but his performances have dropped off, so he's been left out. Kuhn, early season contender for player of the year, now form off a cliff. So they've both been given something to think about. And in fairness to them, when they came on against Kilmarnock last weekend, I thought they were immediately impressive, showing that being spoken to harshly by Brendan Rodgers can work. So they will know if they come on today. As you rightly say, the St Johnstone players will think, oh, thanks very much, here comes Jota and Kuhn. But they, Jota and Kuhn, will know that they have to deliver, or they won't be there next week.
5 minutes to go until kickoff at Hampden. We'll go back to the National Stadium next.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
The players are in the tunnel at Hampden Celtic against St Johnstone, the second Scottish Cup final of the weekend. It was a win for Aberdeen over Hearts yesterday. What will be in store at the National Stadium today? Roger Hanna is there and will take us up to kickoff.
As you see, Andrew, Callum McGregor and Nicky Clark just preparing to lead the sides out behind referee Callum Scott. Celtic pushing for another domestic treble. They crave a 43rd Scottish Cup success. They've won this trophy in 6 of the last 11 seasons, including here last May against Rangers when Aramida was the match winner. There's 8 starters from last season's Cup final starting again today, plus the goal hero Ida, plus £11 million record signing Arnie Engels and the backup goalkeeper will Jamie Sinisala. But Celtic should be careful. St Johnstone may be bottom of the Premiership. Survival is clearly the priority for Simo Vallecari and his players, but they have won this cup twice in the last 11 years, and of course they beat Celtic at McDermott Park in the league only 2 weeks ago. Celtic have slipped up unexpectedly at this stage in the past. Think Ross County in 2010, think Cali Thistle in 2015. Semi-finals can be nervy, anxious occasions even for the best, but the prize today for Celtic or St Johnstone, a return here to the National Stadium on May 24th to take on Jimmy Tillene and Aberdeen. I'll give you the teams again, Andrew. Will Jamie Sinisala in goal for Celtic? In the back, Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter, Vickers, Liam Scales and Greg Taylor. The midfield, Arnie Engels, Callum McGregor and Leo Hitate. And up top, James Forrest, Adam Eder and Aizen Maeda. On the bench, Bain, Ralston, Krusty, Schlupp, Bernardo, McCowan, Kuhn and Jota. St Johnstone, Andy Fisher in goal. Defence, Daniel Balodis, who will play with a protective mask after breaking his nose in training through the week. Spence Brangland, Barry Douglas in the middle, Sam Curtis, Jason Holt, Victor Griffith and Stephen Duke McKenna, with Graham Carey and recalled captain Nicky Clark behind Adama Sidibe. On the bench, Sinclair, McPaig, Watts, Spedberg, Stephen, Kimpioka, Kirk and Ekpiatsu. The referee, as we said, Callum Scott. The bar is Andrew Dallas, and some great starts ahead of this semi-final. James Forrest, who of course started the final last year, he could become the most decorated Celtic player of all time in the next couple of weeks. He's chasing a personal record of scoring every season of his Celtic career. He has yet to find an eight this term and is desperate to keep up his 100% record. He scored more goals against St Johnstone than any other club. He's scored around dozens against the Perth Saints over the years, and he would love to emerge as a hero for Celtic this afternoon. They've not met these two in a semi-final in the last 18 years, Celtic winning 2-1 back in 2007 with a double from Jan Venegoor of Hesselink before they beat Dunfermline in the final with that goal from John Joe Perrier Dumbe. St Johnstone too would love a match winner. Balodis is the same as the hero a couple of weeks ago, a first win in 5 that was against Celtic. There are no survivors in this St Johnstone squad from the side that beat Hibs in the final just 4 years ago. I've seen that winning manager Callum Davies, and he's here in TV duty this afternoon. How he would love to see the Saints beat Celtic in the Scottish Cup. It's not happened since 1936, a 2-1 win back 89 years ago. Jimmy Beattie was a two-goal hero for Saints this afternoon. Could they have a hero this afternoon, or will Celtic push again for a treble and cup number 43? We're underway at Hampden, Andrew.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes. With M&D Green Pharmacy. Planning your holiday? Get essential health advice and medication before you travel.
Hampden looking good in the sunshine. We are underway between Celtic and St Johnstone, and clearly the production team have forgotten to take away the graphic in the top corner to show that there were the two red cards for Hearts yesterday. You could see it in the top bar that is showing 11 seconds into the game that St Johnstone have two red cards, which now that only that has reappeared, so I'm sure they'll be sorting that. But it is 11 against 11. How is it going to go? Predictions from you three, starting with Hugh.
I go out the limb as always. Celtic 5, St Johnstone 0.
Oh, Hugh, it's similar. I'm going to go one less, so 4-0 Celtic.
Okay, I think we'll get a good game. I'm going 3-1 Celtic.
Not as bold as there was a caller during the week that predicted 8.
8, yeah. 8 for Celtic, that is, not St Johnstone. Mm. But Celtic on the front foot straight away. Andrew, you know, sometimes the reality of the situation is the truth. And the truth is that Celtic are players from a different calibre to the players that Simo Vallecari has at St Johnstone.
Yeah, Celtic with the ball in the opening minute or so, as you'd expect. St Johnstone sitting in their shape, sitting deep, and we'll hope not to concede very early on.
They're certainly sitting deep. They're sitting right on their own 18-yard box and inviting Celtic onto them. Here's an opportunity.
Celtic got a chance already. Arnie Ingles at the edge of the box. That's a good block
from Bally. It's
That's what they're going to need today. They're going to throw bodies on the line, try and get blocks in. Celtic will just be patient as the ball comes in there. There's a first chance and Fisher grabs it just to take the sting out the Celtic attack just now. But already you can see Celtic look like they're in the mood to go and make a real good show of this afternoon.
Yeah, it was a James Forrest cross from the right. I think Dyson Maeda maybe headed it off the back of Adam Ida's head. Andy Fisher had to get down low. Was never really going to cause him any problems. But Celtic getting the ball into the box a few times in the opening couple of minutes.
Another thing that St Johnston need today, they need Andy Fisher on loan from Swansea. They need him to have the kind of dafty that he had at McDermott Park. He was unbeatable that day, the goalkeeper. And he needs to replicate that performance at Hampden.
He needs to hope though that those Celtic forwards misfire like they did that day, because some of the opportunities were there for all to see. But I don't think you'll see the Celtic front line pass up those opportunities again. I've just seen Callum McGregor taking the shot off to the edge of the box here just moments ago. He retired from Scotland to play less games, and this is his 48th game of the season. That is astonishing, the amount of football he gets through. Sitting on 9 goals, so quite a good return. Wonder if he'll make it his 10th this afternoon.
Most of those goals have been exactly the same as each other, haven't they?
Yeah, here's St Johnston breaking forward. They've got to make the most of this possession. They've got to try and keep the ball. Don't give away. That is crazy for me. You know, it's a slack ball in. Give it back to Celtic, and all of a sudden you're now on the back foot. You've got to try and take care of the ball.
You know what, I do agree with you in that respect. However, when you've got Carey on your left foot there and you've got a 1v1 with Cameron Carter-Vickers, surely in the opening stages you want to try and put a wee bit of pressure on the Celtic centre half by Davern. The delivery is poor, so it has to be better. But Carey's one that can open the door for St Johnstone. We've seen his goal in the quarter final. Anywhere 30 yards out,
yeah,
he's a danger.
Yeah, listen, if it's a shot, I'm certainly with you. But you know, just playing a hopeless ball into the box and Celtic pick it up is the throw the goalkeeper. That's good goalkeeping. That's good goalkeeping. They get in behind the St Johnstone back line there, and Fisher read the situation. Out he came, and a good header out to give Celtic a throw.
They must have a brilliant goalkeeper at Swansea if he's up here.
Yeah, it was. He read the situation well. He'll need to do that, you know, because the way St Johnstone are looking, they're going deeper and deeper, and they're letting Celtic go on to play in front of them and then hope to hit them on the counter attack.
Should we get this going, Hugh?
Yes.
The first half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Now, excluding shootouts don't count, can you name the last 6 players before today to score a penalty in a Scottish Cup semi-final at Hampden? No shootouts, but can you name the last 6 players before today to score a penalty in a Scottish Cup semi-final at Hampden?
At Clyde SSB on Twitter to get all your answers in. Remember, it is a race. You want to be in there first. We want all the answers in one tweet. At Clyde SSB. In the time that Hugh was reading that out, there were a couple of chances for Celtic. James Forrest looking pretty lively so far. He had a shot deflected wide. Rio Hitati in the last couple of seconds has had one deflected wide as well.
Forrest was a little bit unlucky. I think the problem was he cut in on his left foot, which isn't his strongest. It was a good run from him. He opened up the defence, but he just pulled his shot wide. Roger, I think, touched on it before the game started about Forrest. Try to get that goal to keep that record going and scoring every season. What is it, 15 season? What a record that would be. So he'd be desperate, and he's got a good record, as Matt rightly said, against St Johnstone. So you'd maybe fancy him if Celtic got an early lead and were dominating the game, which we think they will do. Maybe get that record today.
There has been some pyro that's been set off, and it means that the pictures from the sort of wide camera aren't overly clear. They're a bit cloudy, but down at pitch level there won't be an issue.
I mean, it's a beautiful sunny day. Who needs pyro on a beautiful sunny Sunday? Go away.
A beautiful sunny day, and you see some of the supporters in t-shirts, some with their tops off. I cut to Brendan Rodgers, and he's got the big puffer jacket on. He looks freezing.
If you're standing in the shade for that long, though, it's still Scotland.
I suppose I did have the big puffer on myself yesterday. It was
did you,
Matt? Yeah.
What happened to the famous tracksuit?
I saw it underneath. I don't wear a puffer and make it underneath it.
that
would be weird.
Yeah. Was the stopwatch in the right pocket or the left?
The right.
Right, always in the right.
Okay. The right.
You're becoming quite you know what? For a stopwatch.
I looked at the stopwatch, there was 39 minutes. I was like, right, okay, 39 minutes. Wee bit to go to half time. The ref blew the whistle. I must have had it by mistake. Stopped at 39 minutes.
I maybe need you some time to time me, just to see how quick it is. How I can sprint up
and watch activity. Been busy lately, have you?
Sprinting up the box.
Moving on quickly from that. Roger says Brendan Rodgers is right. It is freezing in the shade at Hampden.
Oh, so you got the hat, scarf, and gloves on. The big puffer himself, Roger.
Ah, he'll have the full works on, I reckon. He's an experienced operator. He'll know that.
I've never seen Roger wear a hat. There's a manufacturer out there make a hat. I've never seen the main man wear a hat.
It's true. I don't think I've ever seen him with a hat on either.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason behind it, isn't he?
Sitting there already complaining about how cold it is, and he's now just getting abuse in the studio as well.
Oh, would suit a hat, would you know? Baseball cap.
I can't imagine he's much of a baseball cap type of character.
The beer cans in the side. One of the guys.
Yeah. Well, we've all been there in the gantry. It is a bit cold up there, but hopefully this game will warm them all up. A bit of excitement. Good play with St Johnson. Just taking the sting out of it a little bit. Putting a couple of passes together, playing through the lines. Good running, good.
So David's got the ball in the box, holding off Cameron Carter-Vickers, gets the shot and it's deflected out.
That's encouraging for him. It was good play, calm play. They kept the ball, passed it about, slipped the ball through there, and all of a sudden they're up the pitch and they've got a corner. If there's any chance in this game, they've got to keep that up.
Yeah, set pieces are Celtic's Achilles heel. When this corner comes in, they'll be flapping all over the place. And Sinisalo is not yet.
You're not been impressed
commanding. I mean, he's did very little to do, really. But we'll see how he responds to this, the first set piece. Remember, it was from a set piece that St Johnstone got their goal in Perth.
Yeah, it looked a good delivery. Liam Scales making the first contact and able to get it away at the second time
by
of asking.
By the way, I think Nicky Clark, you see him just look up to the heavens there. I don't know if he just misjudges it, because the set piece delivery right in the money and it's just above Clark's head, out swinging, and he just misses it. So a wee warning sign there for Celtic. They have good delivery on their side with Graham Carey.
Well, Rogers come back and said, it's with a photo saying this is his favourite hat, and see if he thinks that this is going to stop any abuse that's coming his way. He sent a photo with a sombrero on, holding a set of maracas.
Yeah.
Wow.
The maracas is making a sign there. I think that's what aimed towards me.
They must get some weather in Newton Mearns if he's sitting there with a sombrero.
Well,
don't think he's got that on today, mind you.
No.
A few complaints from some of the supporters behind, not being able to see the action. 10 minutes into this game, Celtic.
I was
waiting on it. You teed him up brilliantly. Exactly.
I must say, Liam Scales' distribution of the ball is really poor.
Well, I was giving him credit before because I thought that side of his games get a wee bit better, and I still think teams picking Carter Vickers or him will still leave him in the ball. But that's a couple of passes out to Maeda. It's been outside them rather than inside them.
Well, I said that St Johnstone look at the clock and start ticking off time. They're the first 10 minutes by. The goalkeeper's not really had a save to make, has he?
No.
So they'll be quite happy with that. Listen, just a quick, my brother-in-law sitting out the back listening to a show. It's his birthday day. Russell, have a lovely day. Enjoy your birthday.
Turned into the GBX here all of a sudden. Yeah. Shout outs now.
Shout out.
Wow.
Yes, have a good birthday. As Sinisalo comes off his line, gets out of his box to clear it, and Celtic have a chance to get forward with James Forrest down the right, who's looked lively in the opening stages for Celtic. A shot from Callum McGregor at the edge of the box, the kind of area that he's been scoring goals from this season. That one was low, hard, but straight at Fisher.
Yeah, identical to those areas that he's got his goals this season. Good play from Forrest. can see McGregor just inside him. By the way, that's a couple of times though St Johnstone have left that middle area just outside the box, pretty open. Hatate certainly should have done better with an effort about 5 or 6 minutes ago. And you don't want to leave Callum McGregor too many of those opportunities, or he will find the back of the net.
I agree with you, Mark. I think they need to be careful there. They get away with that because McGregor has got the ability to stick that in the top corner and all of a sudden put St Johnstone right on the back foot. So they've got to match runners. They've got to be tighter in the middle of the park. You can't give McGregor the quality that he's got that time and space.
Liam Scales looking for Adam Ida in behind, gets to the byline, tries, well, manages to keep it in play, but it will, it has been cleared by a St Johnstone player out for a throw.
The one thing about Scales is he doesn't just go for the easy option, you know, and that's difficult as well when you can clearly see St Johnstone are leaving him on the ball, but he's still brave enough to play that forward pass, and it was a decent ball on Ida, who just couldn't quite get it and turn on it. A forward pass nevertheless through the St Johnstone backline from Scales.
I think Simo Vallecari will just be pleased after that first 5 minutes where it looked as if it was going to be an onslaught if Celtic continued that way. They were getting into St Johnstone's box, they were picking the right passes, they were getting shots away, but St Johnstone have managed to get it to the point where they've had a bit of the ball, they've managed to venture forward. Yeah. It's not been, you know, 100% Celtic so far.
Well, the Dadler said, you know, you just keep looking at the clock, now we're 13 minutes gone, nothing of any consequence from Celtic.
Celtic into the box, but St Johnstone managed to clear this one.
Obviously, St Johnstone are essentially about defending, so it's up to Celtic to show the guile. Heaven knows, they've got a £9 million striker, they've got an £11 million midfielder, you know, and they have Maeda, 31 goals for the season. They have to step up.
And they've got a left back in Greg Taylor, who got a lot of praise for his performance last week, and reports this week that Celtic are keen to keep a hold of him, haven't lost all hope that...
Was last week a big turning point for Greg Taylor? Because I think everybody thought that Greg Taylor was excellent in the building, right? Because his contract's not been signed. But Brendan Rodgers came out fully praised, and rightly so, because I thought he was excellent. Did he get stadium man of the match against Kilmarnock?
Yes, he did.
Right, so that's a boost for him as well. Brendan Rodgers comes out and talks so highly of him, and then all of a sudden semi-final, he's in again from the start. You just wonder if there's a little twist and turn, because I thought Greg Taylor would be leaving Celtic, but you just wonder for a little twist and turn just now with Brendan Rodgers and Greg Taylor.
How tough is that decision for Greg Taylor when you've got someone of the quality of Kieran Tierney coming in your position? Brendan Rodgers saying that he feels the two can dovetail quite nicely, that they've got plenty of big games that they'll both be able to play in. But if you are Greg Taylor, who's been starting, you know, pretty much every game for Celtic over the past however many years, if you think there's a good chance your position's under threat, you want to play football, you want to maybe take a different route in your career?
To be honest, I think it's an easy decision for Greg Taylor. I think the only complications is what he's been actually offered contractually. And I think that's obviously the sticking point. He would see Tierney coming in, and he's not silly, he'll know what Tierney's probably ballpark being paid, and he'll probably think,
strike from James Forrest on his left foot, but that one goes wide of the mark.
He'll probably think, well, I've done enough here, I've got a large trophy haul, I've been a big part of this, so
you've been in a club, do you think that Greg Taylor will be looking, thinking, I should be in the same sort of a contract as Kieran Tierney?
Not the same contract, but I think there'll be a huge gap. I think he's obviously realistic. He knows where Tierney's coming from and the connection with the club, so he understands that, but there's obviously some ground to make up. But I think it's a no-brainer for Brendan Rodgers as well to keep Greg Taylor. I think if you've got a choice between Schlupp, someone like Schlupp, or Greg Taylor to compete with,
who are you picking
with Kieran Tierney?
Taylor.
Oh, Taylor and Tierney.
Yeah.
If you're building a squad that's going to be, or want to be competitive across the three competitions domestically and Europe, and you've got two strong left backs like that.
Yeah, but until the St Johnstone game, when he changed it after that, would that argument still be the same with the Celtic fans?
Well, the Celtic fans, I think a lot of them just want the new thing that's come round the corner, and sometimes they get bored with players that have been there a long time. I think Taylor has always been underappreciated. I think with Tierney coming, I think you'll see the best out of him as well. You know, both of them fighting out for that position. It's about holding those levels up. If you know you can't drop beneath your level, or Tierney's coming in, or same with Tierney, Taylor's coming in to take your place, then it's going to drive standards at the club. So I would certainly keep Taylor over Sloop all day long. And Tierney, who knows with his injury record? Who knows what a season you're going to get out of him?
I agree with the argument with Greg Taylor. I think Greg Taylor sometimes is a whipping boy, but I think he's been a fantastic signing for Celtic. He doesn't let them down. He's played a lot of games, won a lot of trophies, as Matt rightly says. But you just wonder where his future's going to be at the end of the season.
Is that a credit to Greg Taylor that over the years he's been at Celtic, there have been so many other left-backs that have come in, and there's been calls from supporters that he should be dropped, or they should be bringing in someone to replace him, that time and time again he's seen off the challenge from those left-backs? And then even once again this season, Jeffrey Schlupp comes in January. There looked to be a period of games where Jeffrey Schlupp had sort of overtaken him in the pecking order, and now it's back to Greg Taylor.
Last weekend against Kilmarnock showed what a model professional Greg Taylor is. Chance for Celtic here.
Celtic in behind here. Dizzy Maida's cross blocked, and model, that will go out for a corner.
Model professional comes in. He's been benched. Schlupp has had his chance ahead of him, but the attitude of mind is always the same, and he ends up being man of the match against Kilmarnock. So you want as much quality about your dressing room as you can possibly get, and if you can have Tierney and Taylor, then that's what you should be aiming for.
I'm hoping that corner didn't come off the training ground.
That was an odd one, eh?
Oh, it's incredible. I don't know what he was thinking.
Yeah, Arne Engels trying to take it quickly, basically sort of passed it across the byline. Callum McGregor was making a run towards the front post, but it was never getting to him. This delivery was better towards the front post, and Callum McGregor now has it in that area once again that we've seen him score from plenty of times this season, but a crowded box means the shot is blocked.
It's all a bit labour intensive from Celtic, and next to nothing in the way of genuine goal scoring opportunities created. So another tick in the box for Simo Vallecari. He's about to go 20 minutes in and no damage done.
Are you still fancying that five, Hugh? Are you sticking with that?
Well, once they get Kuhn and Jota on, yeah.
Yeah, I think the first goal, you know what, like, see when you're the underdog and it's still 0-0, you're ticking the time away, all of a sudden you've got a spring in your step, you're getting a little bit extra yards out of you. But the minute, especially when you play against a team like Celtic, the first goal goes in, then you start to look at one or two with the heads going down a little bit. So St Johnstone are putting their bodies on the line. You've seen McGregor there eyeing one up. Yeah. All of a sudden there's a block, a St Johnstone player's out. That's what they're going to need all game.
Maeda, you know, his danger level drops when he's out wide now. He's got 31 goals because he's terrific through the middle, but not so much coming from him today out wide.
For St Johnstone, is it about just sort of hitting those milestones, getting to the 20 minute mark, getting to the half hour mark, getting to half time, and just keep on doing the job incrementally and hope that they can continue in that way?
I mean, if you're Brendan Rodgers, you couldn't say that you are happy with what you've seen so far from your own team.
I agree with you, because I think we were all expecting Celtic to come out like they produced what they'd done last week against Kilmarnock. It's not really happened, but they're comfortable, they're dominating, they're just moving St Johnstone about. Look, it's just a case of the first goal. See, if you're talking about Maeda there, see, now for me, I would never play him off the flank. He'd be a centre forward for me. Yeah. I think he's brilliant through the middle.
Yeah.
I really do. And I can understand the shout, well, Adam Eder's been brought in for $9 million. But for me now, I think Maeda brings so much to Celtic through the middle.
I know the talk was of freshness, etc., etc., but you know, a quarter of the game gone now, and loads and loads of possession, penetration, none at all from Celtic.
Yeah, 20 minutes on the clock at Hampden. St Johnstone 0, Celtic 0. Not too much in the way of goalmouth action. Celtic getting into St Johnstone's box, but Andy Fisher has been largely quiet between the sticks for the Saints so far.
Can't believe Curtis gave that up there. Good kick from Fisher into a good area. He stops, the ball bounces over Taylor's head and then bounces again, and he just doesn't go for it. Strange. But St Johnstone have done well. You can just see them falling off the game, allowing Skills to have it, condensing the space, and then when they do win it back, Sidibe's that powerful a runner. They're trying to get him down one of the sides of the centre backs. So they've obviously came with a game plan, and it's working so far. But you just see the movement of Celtic, you know, the fullbacks and midfielders. So difficult to pick up. One thing I was going to say, he's just touched the ball there. James Forrest, bright opening, but never really been fed the ball since. And I'd be trying to, you know, evenly spread the game. A lot of the game for Celtic's done this left-hand side rather than the right.
St Johnstone are quite happy. Let Celtic play in front of them with the ball. You see that. And they get deeper and deeper and deeper as Celtic come into their own St Johnstone's half. That's so that there's no space in behind. Forrest has got good pace. He does get good pace. Maeda's got fantastic pace. So they're stopping that, those sort of areas where Celtic can go and hurt them. Because if you look where they're defending, they're basically inside their own box. So they're letting Celtic play in front of them. And they feel comfortable that way. But you've just got to be careful. You switch off for 1 second, Celtic will undo you.
Dyson Maeda with a crossing opportunity in the left. It was a decent delivery to the edge of the 6 yard box, but once again St Johnstone dealing with it.
Good header that from Sprangler. Good position.
One thing about Dyson Maeda is he will keep on going. He's worked his way to the edge of the box, tries to find that pass to James Forrest, but wasn't on.
I think he opens that up there for a shot for himself.
I thought the full
it opened up for him. I'm thinking he's going to try and just bend this far corner. And he tries to play. He does great here. He picks the ball left hand side. He comes inside. He's got to go and hit that. I don't know if he's trying to pick out James Forrest or he just panics and he gives the ball away and it's an easy clearance for St Johnstone.
Do you want to give us a reminder of that teaser, Hugh?
Yeah. Now, excluding shootouts, can you name the last 6 players before today to score a penalty in a Scottish Cup semi-final at Hampden?
At Clyde SSB, I think still time to get on the podium, actually, in this one. So get all your answers in one tweet. At Clyde SSB, work to be done on that as James Forrest works his way down the right. And that looked for a second as if a St Johnstone player was going to turn it into his own net, but blocks the cross and it's a corner for Celtic.
It's the right idea from Forrest and what you want from your wide guy, just facing up Douglas, going at him, touching it by him, then putting it right across that 6 yard box.
Chance at the edge of the box, and another time where it looked like a shooting opportunity for Celtic. Greg Taylor this time, wasn't it? Looked as if on his left foot, could have shot, but decided to try and pass it, gave the ball away.
He's got to take that one. He's set up brilliantly. It's on his left peg. You've got to take that. I don't know if he's trying to just play a delicate little ball in there, split open the St Johnstone defence, but that's a shooting opportunity. And he's got the ability that he can find the target, there's no doubt.
The next target for St Johnstone is to get to half time at 0-0, because then the Celtic supporters in their tens of thousands at Hampden are looking at each other and thinking, surely not. Surely not twice against St Johnstone in a fortnight.
There's a lot of football to go, Hugh. St Johnstone are getting, you know, Celtic are just moving them about the pitch. It's a warm day down that pitch. They're working hard. As I say, there you go, Carter Vickers. Look, you can't blame them. St Johnstone back off and basically invite them onto doing that.
Scored last week.
Exactly.
You could see in his smile there when he was running back that he thought, you know what, I scored from here last week, I'm going to try it again. Yeah. Got that one all wrong, sliced it, was high and wide from Cameron Carter-Vickers. But just given what happened last week, you can't blame him, really. He's got the space there, he's going to go for it.
Size 14 feet, you've got to have a go.
Is that what he is?
Yeah,
size 14.
That's what Brendan Rodgers said after the game. Yeah. That he's got size 14 feet, Cameron Carter-Vickers.
Wow. That is a big lad, huh?
Big socks.
Yes.
You're not buying him socks for Christmas, it'll cost you a fortune.
It's funny because he's not the tallest of central defenders, Cameron Carter-Vickers.
No. Yeah.
Size 14 feet.
Oh. That's incredible, isn't it?
Pair of skis.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how big his feet are, it's still 0-0.
If to go to the other end of the room, he caught his toenails.
26 minutes in, and it's still 0-0. That's the story of the day so far.
Yeah, St Johnstone will be absolutely delighted, Hugh. They've came there with the game plan. And so far, because you've got to say, right, Celtic are dominating the possession, of course, but Fisher's not really been called into much action,
no,
has he?
No.
26 minutes on, you would think Celtic, by this time last week, Celtic had buried Kilmarnock.
Well, they were 4 up by this time last weekend. But as I say, it's, you know, lots and lots of possession, penetration, none at all. And on it goes.
You feeling energised, Gordon?
I'm feeling great, thank you.
Got a phone call from Gordon DL on the way here today asking if I could stop in somewhere and pick him up an energy drink because his energy levels were poor. And then
I nearly
didn't make it to the show because it turns out that in the garage I went into, the woman behind the desk and one of the customers were having a screaming match at each other. I almost had to split up a fight in there.
Chance
for Celtic.
Once again.
And Arlie Engels with a shot saved by Fisher.
They're chapping at the door. Yes, obviously, Andrew, I've been working very hard. Hugh and I had a full day Thursday, 11 o'clock. Obviously, Saturday, yesterday, takes it out of you today.
I did actually wonder, after I'd been in that garage, whether you'd maybe been in there 10 minutes prior and the shouting match was just a passive destruction that you'd left in there.
You can't be fighting on Easter Sunday.
Obviously you, Gordon, not Mark.
Okay. Maybe just they were rolling their eggs and they weren't happy with what was going on.
Remember you used to do that? You used to boil the eggs and paint them, roll them down the hill.
The kids still do.
I mean, a good few people out there doing that today.
My wee granddaughter was all excited, wee Olivia today. She rolling was away with her basket, rolling the eggs down the hill.
I know people that are out doing that today.
Waste of food, that.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do tomorrow, just in case somebody's out there that I think I've forgotten. I'm going to wait for the cheap Easter eggs and I'm going to buy them tomorrow. And
Aye, the yellow stickers.
Yeah.
Get into Marks and Spencer's, by the way.
Yep. Because they're quite expensive.
7 o'clock the night, get in.
Is this to have for yourself or is this to hold on to for gifts next year?
Gifts this year. I'll just kid on, I've been working.
Couldn't get round.
Someone's birthday in September.
Is a lucky girl. What a lucky girl.
A September birthday and she's getting 3 Easter eggs.
That's an Easter egg.
They're expensive, let me tell you now.
The game is getting no better because the conversation's moved on to Easter.
So you've got to chat about eggs at Easter time.
Yes.
Well, you'll be talking about Christmas presents by the time we get into the second half here.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, if St Johnstone bought another 15 plus added on, maybe 16, 17 minutes to go, they would be over the moon to get in at half time, 2-0. But look, you know, it's.
That's maybe evidence that it's just not really clicking for Celtic so far.
No.
James Forrest has the ball on the touchline, plays it into Arne Engels, who goes for the 1-2. James Forrest hasn't even began to make a run into the space that Arne Engels is trying to play him into.
No, I'd have the Kuhn and Jota on by this time and put me
substitutions already, sure.
Oh, yeah.
You don't mess about, mate. No. That's what you need Friday night.
We're half an hour in and they go round and round in a carousel and nothing changes. Pass here, pass there, pass. Nothing.
But that's down to the fact that St Johnstone are, I've got to say, look well disciplined. They're throwing their bodies in there. They're not trying to. You know, they're not giving Celtic a lot of space. They're going deep. They're not leaving space in behind for the pace of Maeda. I think if you're St Johnstone, apart from that, you'll be quite happy with the way that this is planned out for the first 30 minutes.
Anyway, that's a great kick there from Fisher.
Yep.
Because he's been given the ball in the 6-yard box with Maeda charging at him. But here comes Celtic.
The cutback to no one at the penalty spot.
Bit odd that from Celtic, because it's one thing.
Oh, he's given it away.
Yeah, they've got it back. But once again, a good challenge.
When they get to the touchline, filling those gaps in the box, you see two of them run into the 6-yard box, and then nobody filling the space run about the penalty spot where the ball lands.
A couple of times St Johnstone have managed to get the ball towards Sidibe in the last few minutes. First time, just not able to hold it up. Second time, not able to run onto it. He needs to put in a real shift if St Johnstone are to find success, because if you can at least hold on to it for a short bit of time, it just gives that reprieve for your back line to get back into their shape.
Yeah. It's an unforgiving role though against a Celtic.
But easier said than done. And I totally agree with you. It's the worst position to play if you're a lone striker. You're playing at Hampden against Celtic and people are saying hold the ball up. It's very difficult for him.
But I'd have Forrest off and he'd it off and Maeda through the middle. Kuhn
here we
Jota.
Go.
Oh, a chance. Dyson Mazer cuts in, but that one straight at Fisher.
I thought he could have taken another touch, maybe just in a bit closer. He opens it up well, but maybe he's getting closed. He just needs to try and feed it into that far corner, straight down Fisher's throat. But you can see, you know, Maeda probably the main threat coming inside. Belidis and Curtis, you know, just try to shut off down the line, but they're forgetting that he can come in that right foot and everything opens up. I think maybe Ida would be a good option just to be a wee bounce pass for him there rather than try to run into the space.
I think Brendan Rodgers will be disappointed with his front three.
Of course he will.
You know, that's where the spark is. To be fair, if you look at the Midley Park, we've not seen a lot of Hatate.
No.
Ingles. McGregor's getting on the ball and does what he usually does. Yeah, I think he'll be slightly disappointed as St Johnstone put that one right into the box, but well defended from Celtic.
We've talked about Celtic's bench. On St Johnstone's bench, there's an interesting one. Uche Ikpeazu, who joined last summer, had an accident at home, and it was described as a freak injury. Ended up having to have knee surgery, ended up having to have two more knee surgeries, has been out for the whole season, hasn't kicked a ball for St Johnstone. Finally on the bench for the first time. Remember watching him at Hearts, he was box office in the way that you just never knew what he was going to do.
What sort of house has he got? So three injuries in the house.
Well, it was the one injury, but he just had to get several surgeries on it.
Listen, he'll be desperate to go in there. He's certainly one that can go up and battle away. He's a physical lad, he's strong. A Celtic once again, they're just... Adam Ida is walking a tightrope for me. You might look at replacing him at half time. He tries an impossible ball there. That's never working out for him.
I think even when he takes that first touch, I think it's a poor one not to understand that he's got time and space. And then the ball's equally as poor.
There'll be a taxi for Ida shortly.
Open the taxi door. Let him stick his head in the way.
Real Hatate trying to make some space at the edge of the St Johnstone box, lays it off to Callum McGregor, and that one is on the money.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
A fantastic finish from Celtic's captain. He's had a few shots already today, but this one finding the bottom corner at Hampden. Celtic 1, St Johnstone 0.
Yeah, he's had umpteen chances, but that was vintage Callum McGregor. And the captain has led by example. Celtic now with the lead, you would think it might relieve the pressure in one or two players, and they build on that. For St Johnstone, it's a bad blow.
It's terrible defending from St Johnstone. I don't know what he's trying to do there. He plays a ball out from the back, and all of a sudden Celtic go and nip it, win the ball, they've got problems. Hatate, brilliant, just back heels it, says to McGregor, go on in, take a touch and take your time, get your head up and side foot it into the back of the net. 1-0, Celtic are off and running.
Simo Vallecari will be so frustrated at that, because St Johnstone have defended well so far, and then that ball, it didn't really look on, did it? And Cameron Carter-Vickers comes in.
I think they've worked on that as a restart to the goal kick. But was it Duke McKenna? He's too worried about where Carter-Vickers is rather than actually coming to the ball and thinking, this ball's coming to my feet here. And he allows Carter-Vickers to nip in. Still a lot of work, though, to be done after that. Brilliant for Hatate. Daz is right. Great vision. But we said before, if you're St Johnstone, you can't allow Callum McGregor that much time. Even when it lands at McGregor's feet, I think you need to get out there and charge that ball much quicker. They almost invite him on his left foot, put it in that bottom corner. And it's a great finish. 10th goal of the season, 48th game. Remarkable return from the skipper.
I'm all for him playing out from the back, but I think that's really a poor decision. You're giving him absolutely no chance. You're right, I think he's more interested in where Carter-Vickers is. Celtic win the ball, and within a minute the ball's in the back of net. You're 10 minutes away from half time. You've been playing percentage football. Keep just doing what you're doing. That just plays right into Celtic's hand. What is the lad going to do with that ball? Absolutely nothing. He's under pressure. They give Celtic the encouragement, and I think Mark's right. We said it early, you can't keep giving McGregor that space, because he'll eventually punish you, and that's what's happened.
St Johnstone with more defending to do from a Celtic corner, but they managed to do it a bit better this time.
Well, if you're St Johnstone, you know, should Celtic go two up before half time, what are you going to do? You would continue to leave Sidibe up front in a different postcode from the rest of the team, or are you actually going to try and achieve something in the match?
But I think you sit tight then now, Hugh. I think you try and get to half time, you know, the worst scenario of one. You know, it's too early to go and say, right, let's go and start chasing the game, because if you do that, all of a sudden the game's away from you. At one, there's still a slight hope. But you need to get to half time no more than one.
It's the third time Callum McGregor has a chance for Celtic here. Dyson Maeda with the effort. Dyson Maeda with the goal.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Callum McGregor looking for that slide rule pass in behind the St Johnson defence. The defender slid in, couldn't get the right contact. It then bobbled its way through to Dyson Maeda, who was composed and curled it into the far corner to get Celtic second.
Goal 32 of the season for Dyson Maeda, who on the 4th of May will be crowned the Scotland Premiership Player of the Season, and rightly so. He's definitely on side. No, nothing to trouble VAR. And he finishes with characteristic accuracy. Now St Johnstone Daz are in a position where, do they contribute to the semi-final, or do they simply hold on to see if Celtic
damage limitations. Do you know what I can't understand? Celtic are getting dominant in the game. McGregor is getting the freedom of Hamden, and he's played a nice ball in there. Look, they got a bit of luck. I think the St Johnstone defender should do a little bit better for me. But the minute it falls to Maeda, only one place that ball was going. Back of the net, cup tie, virtually over.
It's amazing when you see that play out, you think how much Celtic would have worked on that in the training pitch. Carter Vickers looks like he's going to go wide. It's Ida bouncing off his centre back into his feet. McGregor knows where to run because he knows Ida's just going to pop it off to him. And then Maeda's the same. He knows once McGregor gets it, where the run's coming from. He times it brilliantly. That's right. Curtis probably should do better, but it's just because he's under so much pressure from Maeda, and it's a tidy finish.
The problem that the St Johnstone have got is Nicky Clark is trying to keep tabs with McGregor. Nicky Clark's a forward-thinking player, and McGregor's a fantastic midfield player, and he's just running off him all the time and causing St Johnstone so many problems. I don't know why he's went with that tactic, because that's not Nicky Clark's game. He's a striker. He wants to be in a roundabout. He doesn't want to be chasing McGregor. And he's switching off, because that's what strikers do. And McGregor's just using his experience and getting in behind him and absolutely killing St Johnstone in the back.
I think they'll be lucky to get to half time here without conceding a third. Just with the way this is looking now, Campton, Celtic, everybody wanting the ball now. You know, movement so quick in and around the box. You want to put it past Celtic scoring a third.
The third time in his Celtic career that Callum McGregor has hit double figures for a season. This one probably, you'd say, would it be the most impressive, just given the fact that in the previous seasons, 2017-18, 2019-20, he was playing, you know, a bit more advanced than he is this season.
Well, he certainly added that to
the
his
last
game.
Few seasons,
you know what, that was quite evident that early on in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite noticeable. And they might play it down, but obviously there's been a shift or some other information. Maybe it might have been John Kennedy, it might have been Brendan Rodgers or whoever has just said, look, why don't we look at maybe taking some more efforts from outside area? I think that's evident throughout the full Celtic team. You know, Carter Vickers, and you see Nitati, and you see Scales do it. But McGregor has been so impressive from that area, just run about the edge of the box.
And I think that's why he's in Team of the Year. I think it's because of he's added those goals as well, hasn't he? You know, this season, he's scored some brilliant goals from outside the box, but he's dominating this game. He's enjoying playing here this afternoon. He's got the goal. He sets up Maeda for a second one. Just a captain's performance.
I don't think we'll have got your opinion on the PFA Team of the Year yet, Mark. Did you
I've
see that come
it.
Out
no.
yesterday? So it is Kasper Schmeichel is the goalkeeper. The back four, Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, John Souter and James Penrice. The midfield three, Callum McGregor, Nicholas Raskin and Rio Hitati. The front three, Nicholas Kuhn, Sam Dolby and Dyson Maeda.
Oh, I think that's spot on.
Who? Simon Murray.
Yeah. Argument instead of Dolby.
Yep, for me, yes. I think overall play.
I'm not sure about that, actually.
Well, Dolby, listen, he's scored goals. He's been good for Dundee United. I'm not denying that. I just think Simon Murray's had an outstanding season. as a goal scorer and someone that leads the line for a struggling Dundee side.
Does have one more league goal than Sam Dalby now, and playing for a team further down the table.
You could argue that Dalby's goals have been that important to put Dundee United where they are.
Simon will have wound up so many players.
Aye, that's it. The players vote for it.
Who wouldn't vote for him under those circumstances?
I thought Andy Halliday made a good point yesterday. He said, look, team of the year, Hibs are finishing third and they've nobody in the team.
Nobody greater than the sum of their parts. That's one of those ones that just as a collective they're on a fantastic run. But who at the Hibs team would you have then?
Bashiri.
Boyle.
Bashiri.
Aye. Big Rocky. Yeah, Rocky, yeah. Bashiri has been better when as the Iredales came in and it's been a lot sturdier. Yeah. Playing in the centre of that back three.
He's been excellent, Mark, you've got to say.
To be fair,
I'm going about front and honest here. I stole that one off Andy. That was Andy's shoot.
It's a good point though, because sometimes a team can do well, and maybe because it is a unit and everyone, there's maybe isn't that one standout that you can have a great season, and it's not necessarily that it's all down to one or two players, that the whole team unit is working together, and Hibs are that, one of those teams.
That's the most impressive thing about Hibs. You know, see when you look at the start of the season, their poor run of form, it was individual errors that were costing them, and they were highlighted time and time again. But they've started to cut those out, and you're right, as a full unit that's getting them
what's
on
your,
this what, great run.
What's your thought on your co-manager not making the championship team here? Top goal scorer.
That's harsh, yeah.
Yeah.
That is harsh. He won't be happy with that. I didn't see that either.
Yeah.
Is that because he's winding up too many of his opponents on the pitch as well?
It could be.
I'm passing on the information to you.
It could be. Okay.
I gave them no choice. I just used to score 30, 35.
And you had to be in. You're in it every year?
Every year. Every year. I was in it in August.
You're modest, aren't you?
Yeah, no Thistle players at all. But maybe not surprising that Falkirk, Livingston, Ayr United are the only teams represented in the Championship Team of the Year.
Right, okay.
Aidan Fitzpatrick, see that, do you have a shout?
Aidan Fitzpatrick, Logan Chalmers,
great ball from Scales.
Real Hitati looking for the ball across, and Celtic have a third. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Adam Ida makes it Celtic 3, St Johnstone 0. Runs away, and it's almost a sort of apologetic celebration towards the Celtic fans, maybe because of the events of the past few days. But Adam Ida has his goal at Hampden.
Well, fair play to him, because his sense of professionalism was called into question by what took place in the middle of the week. As I say, I have no doubt that what Brendan Rodgers had to say to him in person was different from what he said to the press. He had to score today, and Hatate has just laid it on a plate for him. And you're right, Andrew, his expression after towards the Celtic supporters was, yeah, look, I know I let myself down, that's for you.
How easy is that? It's a great ball with Scales.
Yep.
Weighted ball, Hatate, great run. St Johnstone switch off, gets the head up, sees Adam Eden and thinks, right, okay, I'll give you your goal. 3-0 at half time.
How's that five looking now?
Oh, Dad? It's looking good, Hugh. I think your five could be before 60 minutes. Yeah. Never mind 90 minutes.
We did talk about Liam Scales and his distribution, a really nice pass in behind, and I know a chance potentially for Celtic to get in again before half time. Rio Hitati, edge of the box, switching onto his left foot.
Oh, he's got to give James Forrest.
Lays it off
there
to Maeda. Oh, chance, and Celtic have a fourth. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Gordon, you said they might have five by 60 minutes. They might have five by half time, even though there's 1 minute added on. Dyson Maeda with his second, with Celtic's fourth. St Johnstone falling apart. Celtic on their way to the final.
Well, you can see the defenders, the passes were getting more and more careless. They looked more and more vulnerable, and now the vulnerability has caught up with them big time. The tie is over. I just wonder what St Johnstone do now. Is it quite simply, look, we're going to have to keep this as respectable as we can and not play any part in the tie in terms of trying to draw level or win it? Or what do they do?
We'd seen what happened. Kilmarnock, Derek McInnes decided last week. You know, we have to stop the bleeding. And that's what St Johnstone need to do here, because let me just say, this could get ugly for St Johnstone.
All of a sudden, that eight that somebody phoned in doesn't they look too far off the mark. Yeah, I said about 10 minutes ago they'll be lucky to get it here half time without conceding a third, but I didn't think there'd be two in there. And a brilliant goal from a Celtic point of view for the third, but that one is down to St Johnstone giving the ball away. Then I thought the chance had gone. I thought Hatate should have played for it. But when Maeda gets the ball, you've got three St Johnstone players round him in the box when he's 12 yards out. One of them have got to take a step towards the ball, and it's all too easy for Celtic. Half time.
Yes, half time at Hampden. Roger Hannah.
Half time, Andrew. St Johnstone 0, Celtic 4. A devastating burst of 4 goals in 11 minutes before the interval have put Celtic into next month's Scottish Cup final. Callum McGregor led the way. He may have quit Scotland international football this season, but you cannot keep him away from Hampden. The Celtic skipper had the opening goal and then had an assist, and that effectively booked a date back here in the National Stadium for Celtic against Aberdeen in May 24. McGregor was first to threaten the shot, easily held by Saints goalkeeper Andy Fisher after 11 minutes. James Forrest was in wide with a left foot shot in 15 minutes. Cameron Carter-Vickers splashed a shot high over the bar in 25 yards. It was one-way traffic. Arnie Engels spun in the edge of the box and his shot saved low down by Fisher. Then Maeda off the left flank, but again the Saints goalkeeper held it easily in his midriff. But the breakthrough came on 34 minutes. McGregor scoring a left foot shot into the bottom corner after being teed up by the outstanding Rio Hatate, a 10th goal of the season for the Celtic skipper. 3 minutes later it was 2-0 with Maeda's 32nd of the campaign, a curling shot round Fisher after McGregor's pass. Sam Curtis just unable to intercept the slide rule pass from the Celtic captain. On 45 minutes it was 3-0. Liam Scales splitting the St Johnstone defence with a pass inside Graham Carey. It reached Hatate on the left of the box and his cutback was turned in from close range by Adam Eder for his 15th of the campaign. There was still time for Celtic to squeeze in a fourth and added time. Eder scoring again from 6 yards out after another Hatate burst into the box. This really could be anything in the semi-final. Celtic, of course, moving closer to the treble, but Saints are reeling after that burst of 4 goals in 11 minutes. Simo Vallecari better of some half-time team talk. St Johnstone 0, Celtic 4.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
St Johnstone 0, Celtic 4, the half-time score in the Scottish Cup semi-final at Hampden. It looked as if St Johnstone were holding out quite well up until the 34th minute, but then Callum McGregor scored, Dyson Maeda got one, Adam Eder got another, and then Dyson Maeda got his second, Celtic's fourth. Game over, Hugh?
Without doubt. There's absolutely nothing St Johnstone can do about this. My only interest in the second half is whether Celtic bring on Kuhn, Jota, go for it, go to fulfil the caller's expectation that it could be 8-0. They've got half of that already. They look capable of getting the other half in the second half. It's a Celtic Aberdeen final, and St Johnstone have nothing to offer this game other than damage limitation.
Well, the expectation from Celtic supporters and Brendan Rodgers be for this team to really kick on and try and make this a huge scoreline, because quite often you see it, if a team have a comfortable lead at the break, the game can peter out a bit. It just happens naturally, subconsciously. Players maybe just won't, you know, have the same tempo they did at the start of the game. Maybe saw it against Kilmarnock last week. Yes, Kilmarnock made the changes and it managed to hold Celtic off for most of that second half, but supporters, the players, the manager will be wanting them to really put their foot to the floor.
Well, I think that will be the message from Brendan Rodgers. You know, first he'll say job well done. They were patient and they had to wait for the opportunities to open up, because St Johnstone were defending deep, but once one went in, the floodgates opened. But he sets such standards at Celtic that he won't want to go out here and waste a 45 minutes just to let it peter out. He understands the fans who pay to go and watch and Phil Hampden want to see more goals in the tempo to keep high. It's sometimes hard for that to sink into the players, so it's up to the coaches to really drill that into them. But Hugh touches on the bench that Celtic have got. If he sees those standards dip, he can just turn and put 5 guys on who are going to raise that tempo again. So it's going to be a long 45 minutes for St Johnstone.
I'll tell you why I think there's an obligation on Celtic's part to keep going. there's a story going on at the moment about Celtic complaining about the ticket prices for Tannadice when they go there next weekend for what could be the title winning day, and the Celtic fans have been charged £42. Now, you can have all the rows you like, but if it stays at £42, Celtic will sell every ticket. And they've filled Hampden today. St Johnstone have 2,000 supporters. Celtic have filled Hampden with the remainder. They are obliged to pay back the fans. The fans pay good money. It's Easter Sunday. They're out there in their tens of thousands. They'll be at Tannadice in their thousands. They'll pay the £42 if they have to. Players have an obligation towards supporters to entertain, and Celtic have got it all in front of them second half.
What will Simo Vallecari be saying to his players right now?
Damage limitation. I think that will be the message. We witnessed that last week with Kilmarnock and Derek McInnes, and that's what Derek said. I had to try and stop the bleeding somehow, and I think he's got to try and do the same. How he does it, I don't know, because they just look in the mood. You look at Celtic's bench, you look at people coming on off that bench thinking, I want to be in the cup final team, which adds a little bit extra to it. I think this is going to be a long second half for St Johnstone, I really do.
The second half at Hampden coming up next. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.